Put our hands together for our pastor and first lady. Show our love for them. Now let's direct that praise and applause to the Almighty God, to the God who was and is to come. Lord, we are thankful, God, for what you are doing in our church, God. You are restoring and repairing our pastor, God, and we give you all of the glory and honor and praise in that. Thank God. You may be seated. It is such an honor to be up here before you all. I always count it a privilege, and I give honor to our pastor allowing me to be up here before you. And I don't take this lightly, but you know, like normally when I get up to speak, I have roughly a page to a page and a half of notes. So everybody in this room is in big trouble because I actually have 6 pages. 6 pages of notes. So Jesus, there was a story in the Bible. He fed 5,000. The story says, when the day began to wear away, Jesus preached all day until the sun was going down. So I have no idea. I'll try my very best to be mindful of time. In fact, I've asked our sound team to put a timer on the screen behind me just so I don't get long-winded. But y'all going to have to pray for me that I get anointed so that I can get through all of this information. Now, God always helps me with the direction of what to preach about. Normally, it's a seed that he puts in my spirit, and that's what happened this week on Tuesday. I had just a thought or a seed that was planted in my spirit, and I have had a rough week. I'll just be transparent with all of you. Incredibly tough week, and God knows what we go through. He knows how you are feeling with what you are going through. And so with knowing what I've been going through, the Lord has divinely assisted me in preparing this message. Normally, it requires a few dead ends of searching through scripture and different various materials, but it seemed like every path that I went down was led to a new discovery. And I thank God for that. I wish every sermon was that way, if I could be honest with you, that God would just say, here you go, here is what you're speaking about, and it doesn't require a tremendous amount of trial and error to craft a sermon, but I thank God that this is where we are at today. The title of my sermon is It Written in the Stars? Is it written in the stars? Now, God has a lot of different ways that he will talk to his people. He will talk to humanity. He's not limited by any sense and any capacity. God can do anything that he wants, anything that he chooses, in any way that he chooses to do so. It is in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, that God says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, in the stars and upon the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. It seems very clear to me in this verse that God has decided to use the sun and the moon and the stars as a way of communicating to humanity. In fact, when we study the scripture, we go back to the book of Genesis. The very first book, in the very first chapter, in verse 14, God says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven and to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. So God is telling us that one of the ways he will communicate with you and I is through the heavens, through the stars, and through the sun and the moon. Does everybody follow? So God being true to his word, because God is truth and he can't be untrue to what he says he was going to do, we find in various scriptures throughout the Bible where God does exactly what he said he would do, use the sun and the moon and the stars to communicate. It's with the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem that the wise men were seeking to find the location of that birth. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. God himself used a star to communicate the location of the birth of the Messiah. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 44, here we have that same Messiah is hanging on a cross for you and I, the redemption of the world. And in this verse, it says it was the sixth hour and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So for 3 hours in the middle of the day, there was an eclipse that blocked out the sun from shining. And the Bible says there was darkness on the earth. God used the sun and the moon to communicate a message to humanity that this is my beloved son, that this is the Messiah, that this is the hope of the world, and it was confirmed with the stars in the heavens. There is a verse in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10. This is how it says, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof will not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." So in this verse, God is even saying, I will use the constellations that I have put in order in the heavens to speak to you and to communicate with you. In Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. God has chosen to use the heavens, stars, constellations, sun, the moon, as confirmations or communications to humanity. Is everybody follow me? In Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is a verse that says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. When the Bible says that, we call, when we say heaven, we're thinking about that the throne room of God, where streets of gold, gates of pearl. The Bible refers to that as the New Jerusalem or the third heaven. This verse, it says there's a wonder in heaven. That's our solar system. That's the sky that we can see. Okay, there's a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head is a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing at birth, pained to be delivered. We have some ladies, if you've ever given birth to a child, you can relate very strongly to this verse right here. In fact, we have something to celebrate, and we'll celebrate them when they are here. But Lauren Reed and Tyrone and Pastor Draylen and Kelsey both had their babies this past week. So we celebrate that amazing, amazing event in their lives, and we are grateful. God has blessed this church with a bunch of babies, and we're grateful for that. But this is a prophecy in Revelation 12 about this great wonder in heaven. And on September 23rd, 2017, this is the day after Rosh Hashanah, and I don't have time, especially with 6 pages of notes, to go into depth with the Jewish holidays and the Old Testament feasts that they still celebrate today. But Rosh Hashanah is a feast of trumpets, and that ought to play great significance to you and I, because we are no longer looking for the signs of the return of Christ. We are now listening for the trumpet, because all of the signs are here. And it is this Feast of Trumpets where the Jewish community, they it's their new year. They look back on the previous year that they have just had, and they repent and they enter a time of consecration before the new year and the Day of Atonement that is coming. But on September 23rd, 2017, this graphic that you see on the screen, there is the constellation Virgo. This is the only woman constellation that we have. And as you can see, the Bible says that there would be a woman clothed with the sun. The sun is just off to her shoulder, effectively putting a garment over her shoulders. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that the moon would be under her feet. And as you can see here, the moon is at her feet. It says there would be a crown of 12 stars, which of course would be at her head. There is a constellation that is above Leo or Virgo, which is called Leo. Leo is a lion. That ought to resonate with you, because we know that the God that we serve is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Plays great significance here. But there are 9 stars in the constellation of Leo. So it seems like this verse is coming to pass on the day, September 23rd, 2017, but we are missing 3 stars. But on the day that this September 23rd, there are 3 planets that came into the constellation of Leo. Of course, Mercury, Mars, and Venus that you can see on the screen behind me. But the Bible says that she being with child travailed at birth, and that child was delivered. 42 weeks prior to September 23rd, 2017, the planet Jupiter entered into the womb of Virgo, the constellation. In fact, the entered into the constellation of Virgo, made its way down what would be considered the birth canal, and for some unknown reason decided to go backwards and stay into the womb of the constellation Virgo. We know that the gestation period for a human baby is 40 weeks. It took one day shy of 42 weeks for Jupiter essentially to be birthed in the constellation of Virgo. So the way that my mind works is I got a little bit curious about the planets, because the planets are not normally in these constellations. And I decided to see if there was any value there, if there was any significance, because the Bible said it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. So I began to try to search it out. What I found is that Jupiter is actually in the Bible. We have a verse, Acts chapter 14 and verse 12, and it said they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius or Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. When I looked up that word Jupiter, they thought Barnabas and Paul were gods because of the miracles that they were doing, that God was doing through them. They said, these must be gods. We're talking about a Greek culture, Greek mythology. And that's why they called them Jupiter, which was Zeus, and Mercury, which was the god Hermes. And when I looked up what those names meant, I found that Jupiter translates to a father that helps. I said, okay, well, that's very interesting. I wonder what Mercury means. Mercury, remember, that's what they called Paul because he was the chief speaker or messenger. Mercury means a message. Mars can be translated to an action. It's an action. And Venus, of course, is love. And so what I did, I just put all these translations together and I came up with this verse. Something that God himself is trying to communicate to his people. A father that helps will send a message of action to love. God is commanding you and I, and thus backed up in his word. We have to be people that love. This is what he is communicating on September 23rd in a miraculous way in 2017. The Bible says that we are to love our God with everything that we have. We have to withhold nothing from him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our might. But not just that. The Bible says the second is like unto the first. We've got to love our neighbor as ourself. In fact, it's the very thing that identifies you as belonging to him, is that you love one another. This is a huge deal, because we live in a society and a culture where love is hard to find. We're quick to tear down one another. We have to love one another, but I'll go one step further than that. The word says to love your enemy. That's a little bit harder to do, right? Can you love somebody who's betrayed you? Can you love somebody who's taken advantage of you? Can you love somebody that's despitefully using you? That's falsely accused you? The word says we have the privilege and the honor to love them. Because the true test of Christianity is not in loving Jesus. It's in loving Judas. Can you love the one that's betrayed you? That's a real Christian. And God is reminding us we have to be people that love. And so I stumbled upon this past week. We have an eclipse that is on our horizon. So I look back into the previous eclipses that we have had here in America, and I found one on August 21st, 2017. This is the pathway that this eclipse took over America. It started in Oregon and it ended in South Carolina. There were cities that kept popping up in the pathway of this eclipse. One of them was Salem, Oregon. Next, Salem, Idaho. Salem, Wyoming. Salem, Nebraska. Salem, Missouri. Salem, Kentucky. Salem, South Carolina. That ought to mean something to you if you read the Bible. Salem means peace. It's the very essence into the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It's my belief that this eclipse is God is trying to draw the attention of the Jewish people, to grab their attention and grab their focus to the Jews. The next eclipse that we have was on October 14th, 2023. This is the path that this eclipse took, again, beginning in the Northwest. Now, unlike the eclipse in 2017, this one did not have familiar cities that were popping up on the path. There was one city, however, that stood out. In Texas, there is a city called Corpus Christi. When you study Latin, Corpus Christi directly translates to the body of Christ. It is my belief that God, with this eclipse, is drawing the attention of the body of Christ. And it makes sense that the eclipse in 2017 happened first with focus on Jerusalem and the Jews. Because I have Bible that says, does the Jew have an advantage in every way? There's another verse that says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Makes sense to me that God would first get the attention of the Jewish community, but also get the attention of the body of Christ at large. There are only four cities in the world named Corpus Christi. One of them happened in this pathway of this eclipse. We have an eclipse coming. They're selling those cool glasses in the stores. It's an exciting thing. Doesn't come around all the time. But on April 8th, 2024, this will be the path of the eclipse on that day. Just like the eclipse in 2017, again, there were seven cities that popped up on the radar in the path of this eclipse. The first is Nineveh, Texas. The second, Nineveh, Missouri. Nineveh, Indiana. Nineveh, Ohio. Nineveh, Pennsylvania. Nineveh, Virginia. Nineveh, New York. Nineveh, Nova Scotia. And if that wasn't enough to draw our attention to the story in the Bible about Jonah in Nineveh, it passes through Jonah, Texas. In fact, the constellation that will be under the sun during this path will be the constellation of a whale. The evidence is overwhelming with the eclipse on April 8th. God is trying to tell us something. He uses the stars. He uses the sun and the moon to talk to us. So we need to study the story of Jonah and Nineveh. In the 19th century, there were tablets that were found. And they're called Bir Segale. And they explain that during the time of Jonah, when he was preaching to the people of Nineveh, there was actually a solar eclipse that happened during the 40 days Jonah was preaching repentance. And here we have an eclipse happening on April 8th, drawing our attention to the story of Jonah and Nineveh. Nineveh was a town where God was ready to destroy. They were a group of people that had turned their backs on the Lord, and he was fed up. But in his mercy and in his grace, God decided to send a prophet by the name of Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah, being the man of God that he was, said that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew if he went and preached repentance, the people would repent. And if they repented, Jonah knew that God is faithful and that God is just and he will forgive and purify from unrighteousness. So Jonah decided to run from the Lord. And he ends up in a boat and he ends up in a storm. And with that storm came a confession. I'm the reason why the storm is happening. And in order to calm the storm, they decide to throw Jonah over the side of the boat. A great fish swallows Jonah. And for 3 days, he's in the belly of a fish. That fish spits him out on the shore. And imagine that. Jonah's mind has been changed. God has a way of changing your mind. And Jonah decides to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. He preaches repentance in Nineveh for 40 days. And just like he knew God would do, God forgave and God spared them from the judgment that was coming. We have a language, ancient manuscripts. It's called Paleo Hebrew. Paleo Hebrew is what the manuscripts we read in the Bible were written in. They're letters that we have, much like our alphabet. And we're going to put this picture on the screen here. What you see here is those letters in the original language of the Bible. And this is what they look like. And the one on the right there is the letter Aleph. It's where we get our word alphabet. Aleph, alphabet. And what this is the letter A in the Hebrew language in its original form. But before they could write letters, what they did is they wrote symbols. We know that the Egyptian culture did this as well with their hieroglyphics, that when you take the letter Aleph and you turn it about 90 degrees, what you see here is a triangle. And this was the symbol of a bull. You have the head of the bull, which is the triangle, and the two ears come out of the side, and the bull horns go up in the air. And this is a source of strength. That's why it was a bull or an oxen. We read about that in the context of Scripture, that was strength and power was the ox head. The other letter on the left is the Tav, and the Tav it's exactly what it looks like if it's an X. If you ever played pirate games or treasure hunting as a child, you know the saying that X marks the spot. That's what the Tav is. It is a mark. We read about the story of Cain in the book of Genesis. Cain kills his brother Abel, and there is a judgment. There is a consequence to the actions. And God says, you're going to be a vagabond on the earth. And Cain's response is, this is more than I can bear. And God puts a mark on Cain. It's a mark of mercy. It's a mark of salvation. Because Cain was worried somebody was going to kill him because he killed his brother Abel. And God marks him with mercy and salvation. That word mark in the book of Genesis is the Hebrew letter tav. It translates to a mark. There's another story in the Old Testament where there is evil people in a city, but there is also righteous people there. And God tells an angel to go through the city and mark their foreheads. And when you go through, the angel of death goes through. Whoever has the mark of salvation on their forehead, they will be spared. That word in that story for mark is the Hebrew letter tav. It is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. When we are looking at this, we have the first letter and we have the last letter. This may make more sense to you in the Hebrew. I'm sorry, in the Greek. Instead of Aleph and Tav, what it is in the Greek is Alpha and Omega. And when we compare the Paleo-Hebrew Aleph Tav, and we combine the three pathways of the previous two eclipses and the one that is to come, what we see here in the middle of the United States, there is a city there called Rapture. There is Tav that is represented, X marking the spot. If you turn your head slightly to the left, you will see the Aleph. Thus, God Himself putting His name, the Alpha and the Omega, upon America as a warning. I don't believe what happened here before service is by chance. I don't believe the interpretation of tongues was anything but God Himself confirming and affirming what I'm saying to you today. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, is telling you and I, it's time to repent. It is time to turn back to our Creator. We know that there is a verse in Chronicles. We quote it often. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal their land. I think about every time I've prayed for this nation and prayed for the world. I said, God, let the people that don't know you repent. Let them turn to you. Let them discover you, God. There's not much Bible to that. If we want a harvest in the United States of America, if we want revival in the Detroit Metro District and in the city of Sterling Heights, the commission is not to the lost. God's word says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. We have to be very honest right now with where we are at in our walk with God. We have to be very transparent and approach that throne of mercy and ask God to forgive us and to heal our land. It starts with the people of God. It starts with me. It starts with the body of Christ. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. It says, and behold, I come quickly. Those exact words Pastor Draylen interpreted in our tongues and interpretation. This is eight verses before the end of the Bible. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I believe God put His name on this message that we see over the United States of America. This is not the first time that God has put His name somewhere. We have a picture on the screen behind me. This is Jerusalem. What you see highlighted in black here are the valleys in Jerusalem. If you have mountains, you will have valleys. That's a message in itself. This is the letter Shin in the Hebrew. It is the 21st letter of the alphabet. It has three vertical lines representing a crown, and it's very comparable to our English letter, the W. It's used to represent in the Hebrew culture, in the Jewish community, it's the name of God, El Shaddai, translated the Almighty. In 2 Kings 21:4, this is what it reads. He built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. From the very beginning, the name of God was in Jerusalem, written in the topography. The Jews have a box inside of their house that when they exit their house, they put their hand on that box and they say a prayer. The scripture of Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, is written on that box. And the letter that is above that scripture is the Shin, representing the name of God, the Almighty. When you take the human heart and you cut the human heart in half, this is what you will see. You have two ventricles, and separating the two ventricles, you have a wall there. And you can see, just like written in Jerusalem, upon every human heart is written the Almighty, God's signature to His masterpiece, written in your heart. His name, literally, in your heart. We believe very strongly in praise and worship here at First Church. We had an amazing time just a little while ago. God responded to what we offered Him. Pray that prayer that God is pleased with your worship. Because there is a verse that says, I won't smell in your congregation. We've got to make sure our hearts are right when we offer prayers and praise and worship. Come here for a minute, babe. Because this is something powerful when you praise and when you worship. If you're in this service and you wonder why are all these people lifting their hands? Why does this happen? One, it's submission to Him. But look what happens when she lifts her hands. Do you see the Shin here? That is, I can't do it on my own. I'm completely dependent upon the Lord. I need the power of the Almighty God resting upon me. That's powerful. Every time you lift your hands, you ought to think of the Shin. I'm praying to the one God that has the power to change my situation. So I got, the way my mind works, the first eclipse had seven cities. The second eclipse had one city, the body of Christ. The third eclipse had seven cities. I know that the number seven in the Bible is a number of completion. There are 7 days of creation. After the seventh day, it was completed. If you study the book of Revelation, you'll learn about 7 years of tribulation. After the 7 years, the tribulation has been completed. So with the constellation that I had up earlier, that was September 23rd, 2017. This coming September will be 7 years since that experience happened. So I just wondered. I said, okay, well, what's it look like in this coming September? I see very clearly that God is calling us to repentance, calling us to love, calling us to love one another. What's it look like? Because that is a year of completion. So when I began to look it up, I found that the moon, which was at the feet of the constellation Virgo, would now be above her head. The Bible says that God created a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. It's my belief. If I'm wrong, Pastor can correct me. I'm correctable. But I believe we've had 7 years of God withholding the darkness in our world. I believe after September, that darkness is moving to a position of authority in our world, not in the church. Darkness does not have authority over you. You're the body of Christ. You're the children of light. You have His power. You have His name. You have His authority. But our world's going to go into darkness. We're seeing this in our society already as we speak. There is a deterioration, and that is coming. We know that's coming. But just as the moon moves into the position of above her head, the sun has also shifted its position. The sun, instead of Jupiter, is now going to be in the womb of the constellation Virgo. Instead of being birthed a natural birth, as Jupiter was, the sun will now cross the womb of Virgo and be birthed out of her side, thus a non-natural birth or a supernatural birth. It is my belief what we are experiencing, God is opening the door. Remember, for signs and for seasons. We're not talking about getting ready to enter into spring or summer. There are spiritual seasons as well. God brought to my attention with the sun being birthed through the woman, Malachi chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. But unto you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Does not say son, S-O-N. Always wondered why the Bible writes it this way. The Son of Righteousness will arise. And when it arises, it's going to have healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. It is my belief, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It is my belief that we are on the cusp of the greatest harvest and revival that this world has ever known. That just as the Son of Righteousness will be born through the constellation, there will be a door that is unlocked to the people of God. Healing in his wings. We're seeing glimpses of it now. But not enough. You study that Bible. You think about the stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Think about the ministry of Jesus Christ. There was a time Jesus healed somebody, but he said, the reason why I'm going to heal you physically is so that you know I've got the power to heal you spiritually. Physical healings always precede the greatest spiritual revivals. I think that's what we're getting ready to enter into. I think God is promising, this is what's coming. I've set before you an open door. I will empower you supernaturally to where healings will become common. Why? So that I can heal their soul. But this does not happen if we don't heed the warning right now. Right now. God is saying to America, to the body of Christ, repent. Turn back to me. If you do your part, I'll do mine. Stand. Gonna have Pastor Draylen come. Just play something, Pastor Draylen. Normally, we would invite everybody up to the front. And that's what you feel led to do. Please, come up to the front. But if God was speaking to you, challenging you while I was teaching this message, we have to embrace repentance. Repentance is more than asking God to forgive us. That's part of it. It's a big part of it. But repentance demands change. We can't keep doing the same things and staying stuck in a rut. Repentance means I need forgiveness, and God gives you forgiveness. But what do I have to change in my life to prevent myself from going back to the same thing that I was just forgiven of? What changes do I need to make that keeps my mind from going into a dark place? Do I need to alter what I'm watching and what I'm putting into my spirit? Do I need to re-examine what I'm listening to and how I'm spending my time zoned out on my phone as hours pass away? It's time, people of God. The season of playing games is over. You've either got to get with us or get out of the way. Choose this day whom thou wilt serve. And that's the challenge to you today. Make up your mind whether or not you're going to live this way or not. So I'm going to challenge you. We're not going to have a big production right now. There needs to be repentance made in this house. There needs to be a travail of Zion. There needs to be some intercessions offered up in this moment. So however you're comfortable, you want to come to the front at an altar. The altar is a powerful place for things to die. If you need something to die in your life, come to an altar and kill it. If you're more comfortable praying in your pew, that's fine. Don't miss this moment. Take advantage of the mercy of God while you still have it. Mighty Jesus, I thank you, God, that you love us enough. You love us enough to give us mercy and time to get right with you. Don't let me be the only ones praying, church. Let that prayer go up before the throne room of God. God, we need your forgiveness. I do. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my faults. Forgive me, God, of every error. Forgive me of every mistake, I pray. Mighty God, I am turning to you now. You're the Almighty. God, you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the one that forgives and restores my life. But Lord, I give you permission. I beg you, Lord, put a microscope over my life, over every word, over every heart, over every thought, God, that I could ever have. God, you said the heart is deceitfully wicked. There's no way I can know it, but Lord, you do. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you, Lord. Reveal the evil in my heart. Reveal it to me, God. And let me, Lord, remove it from my life. That I would be clean before you. Because I want a harvest, Lord. I want a harvest, God, where the count is lost. I want to see cars up and down DeQuinda Road, Lord, waiting to get baptized. I remember the dream of Sister Mary Hill. I remember, God, the dream of Sister Esther Hoffman. God, I want to see it come to pass. But Lord, I got to make sure my heart's right, because you won't trust me with a revival and a harvest, God, to somebody whose heart isn't clean. Help us in Sterling Heights. Help us in this body, God, to be people, Lord, with clean hearts, my God. Pure hearts, oh Lord. Move among us now. I thank you for speaking to us, Lord, through the tongues and interpretation, but also through the power of your word and continuing to speak through us with wonders in the heavens, oh Lord. We yield to you. Bow down to you in reverence, our Alpha and Omega, our Messiah, our Redeemer.
My fears to the wind, desire less before.